This morning, of course, the intention was to continue our lessons out of the book of Peter, and Lord willing, we'll do that tonight with a lesson about us as God's people. If the Lord blesses us, we'll be here and do that very thing. But I decided this morning to change the lesson to what I was actually going to preach tonight. And of course, hopefully I made the right decision. We're all so thankful and blessed to be here, and we're thankful that our God is great and powerful and mighty, and we're thankful for every breath that He divinely allows us to have. And so it seems that there in this world oftentimes is an endless chain of grief. That's something that this old world is very capable of providing us. It seems that on, you know, any particular day of the week, of the month, of the year, we can be stricken with some real reasons for grieving, real reasons that kind of take our rejoicing away, that kind of take away our breath. And maybe, just sometimes, that's just the way it is. That's the way it has to be. You know, we live in a world today that is many of our members and many of the people out there in the world are isolated because of the virus that's around us. And many people feel alone. They feel as though they've been abandoned somewhat by families and friends, and emotionally people are drained, and that's a very wearing thing. It's very hard. These people want compassion, and they want those hugs, and they want that close relationship that they had once before. And then, of course, there is death. And that is something that is ongoing until the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this place in the skies and takes the church home to heaven. That is something that will continue to go. And as especially as we get older and older, death becomes more prevalent. It becomes more often our friends just leave us to go on into the next life. Our family members, all these lives that just seem to disappear right before our eyes. Sometimes it's quick and sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's a gentle sleep in the night, and sometimes there's great pain and suffering. But we'll all experience these things. And we'll all experience grief throughout our lifetime, and there is no way of escaping this fact. And so this morning I'd like to talk to you a little bit about basically grief. How we handle grief in the times of sorrow and in the times of trouble. And listen, grief is just as real as a broken leg. It is just as real as cancer. It is just as real as emphysema. It is just as crippling in some ways as a broken back. And yet there's always a cure. Even our God, even the Most High, experienced grief. God Himself, He experienced grief over the wickedness of man. We read that in Genesis chapter 6 and at verse 6. He was grieved in His heart because of wickedness. God's Holy Spirit was also grieved when the people of God forgot God and God carried them off. He loved them. He redeemed them. And Isaiah says that they rebelled against God, and He grieved in the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 63 and at verse 10. Jesus Himself, doing nothing more than having an opportunity on the Sabbath day in Mark chapter 3 to heal a man with a withered hand. And Jesus Himself was grieved because of the hardness of the hearts of men. Verse 7. I want you to understand that with people, mental anguish blocks clear and positive thinking. And that's true about all of us in many, many cases. Those outside the body of Christ, they tend to deal with grief by seeking physical pleasures. Often the lust fulfills the desire to overcome the depression. Only later, it just complicates the matter. And grief tightens her grip, squeezing the victim into despair. And so the one thing that we really need to understand, and that is basically, what is grief? And as we look at this, we see Webster, you know, the New World Dictionary defines it as an intense emotional suffering caused by loss, disaster, etc. It's an acute sorrow, a deep sadness caused or subject of such suffering. And one suffering according to the depth of grief is defined as anxiety, insecurity, unhappiness, sorrow, loneliness, distress, gloom. And it can, without God, and I say without God, cause the loss of self-confidence. We need to understand that. Without God, grief can rob you of your hope in this life. And let's not forget the theme that we're dealing with, our hope. Hope is such a powerful thing. Hope rests in the power of God. Hope rests in the promises of God. Our hope rests in the grace of God and the power of God to save us. We have grief on this side, and as we, as God's people, pass through that grief and suffering and sorrow, no matter what it is, on the other side there's hope. On the other side there's a life eternal. On the other side is God's grace. On the other side are the hands of God that hold us up. The hands that carry us, support us. When we can't walk of our own means, the Lord helps us. And listen, grief exists. And sometimes people feel as though they're on their own because they're not looking up to the hope of heaven. They're not looking up to the power of God. They feel as though they're between a rock and a hard place. There's a gentleman named Aaron Lee Ralston. He was an outdoorsman. And in April 26th of 2003, he was on a lone private hike descending from the what was called the Blue John Canyon in Utah. And along the way, he dislodged a boulder that slipped down between two rocks and pinned his right arm, and he couldn't get out. He couldn't get out. For 5 days, he hung there. He drank all the water that he had. He had very, very tidbits of food. It was all gone in the first couple of days. He hung there. He had no hope. Then, what did he do? He took out a dull multi-tool that he had, and he began to saw off his right arm. The description tells us that everything seemed to be okay. It's kind of euphoric until he got to these little white spaghetti-like things called nerves. And then it took every ounce of strength that he had to cut through. He wrote a book. And that book was called Between a Rock and a Hard Place. But you know, God, He gives us freedom from the kind of grief that causes us to cut ourselves off from the world, to cut ourselves off from God. And in some way, that must have been how Judas felt. You think of Judas when he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and then he realized exactly what was going to happen, and he grieved. He was between a rock and a hard place. And even though the Lord didn't forsake Judas, He didn't. Even though God didn't forsake Judas, and He didn't. But Judas's sorrow, he didn't give that over to God. He allowed that to direct him, and he chose unwisely. He didn't cut off his arm. He didn't cut off his hands because they offended. He didn't do that. He hung himself and died. And the story behind that is that some needlessly suffer. And it's only because they are without God. Then the grief-stricken will cry out. And they say things like, "What in the world can I do? I have tried to right my life and now, you know, look at me. This has robbed me of everything that I could possibly want. My life is ruined. No one in this world even cares about me. I have nothing left to live for. What's the use?" But then we, who have God, who have known the goodness of the Lord, remember His Word. We remember His promises. For example, God made a promise to Jacob. He says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." God is with us. Through whatever the trial is, through whatever the temptation is, through the sorrow and the suffering, the good times and the bad, God is with you always. Of course, then there's David. And that amazing king who knew who he was. He wrote in the Psalm 142 and verse 4, he said, "Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." There's somebody that has every reason in the world to grieve, every reason in the world to be sorrowful, every reason to be without hope, at least there. And yet, David didn't leave it there. He wrote these words, the most comforting and healing, powerful, well-known text in the Old Testament, the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me to lie down between still waters. He leadeth me in the green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His own name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." You think of the power of God in these verses. He says he's comforted because God has prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. He's anointed his head with oil, and his cup runneth over. This is David talking about life. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And remember, these words are David's words for the living. It was for him. Why do I say living? Well, because David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." David said, "The Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures." David said, "The Lord leads me to the still waters. The Lord restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Not will be my shepherd. Not will help me to lie down in green pastures. Not will set me beside the still waters. Not will restore my soul. He does now. And that's how we can handle grief, because we know that the powerful God of creation is always with us. So even when these powerful and wondrous and peaceful generating things that the Lord is currently doing for every child of God who has faith and trust in the power of God, it is still possible to experience troublesome times. It's still possible to experience grief. And so, we ask, if this text is for the living, well then who's healing us as we live? You know, healing depends upon God's provision. God is the one who heals. There's doctors, you know, that they can't heal. They play a part in the process. They stitch, they fix, they administer medicines, but they're not healers. They're not healers. You know, my son had a burst appendix and they had to do emergency surgery, and the doctors came before the surgery and said, you know, in these kind of cases, we don't hold much hope for survival. But then after the surgery, the doctors came out and you know what they said? Something should be familiar in your mind. Now we just wait and see. Why would they say we wait and see? What is it we're waiting to see? Do we know what that means? What that means is that healing comes by the hand of God, by the will of our Creator, and nobody else. Whether we need healing emotionally, spiritually, physically, healing comes from the Creator, our God. And good doctors recognize that fact. In fact, one doctor said, we physicians are said to be members of the healing guild of profession, but we can heal no one. It takes a higher power than the doctors to possess to heal. It is true we can remove defective body parts that would otherwise destroy the whole, give special drugs, slow or even kill infectious germs and viruses, etc., which cause the bacteria affecting disease. But the body must respond with the healing power that is God. He heals our sorrows. He heals our bodies, and He can heal our grief. Whether it's first spiritual or physical, trusting in the living God and the power of God is what we need to be able to handle the hard times of life. And, you know, there's a place to start. The process of healing. Jesus Christ heals you. Look with me, you know, in Acts chapter 9 and at verse 32 and 34, if you're looking there, Acts chapter 9, verse 32 and 34, what's going on there is Peter he's gone down to Lydia, and he comes across a man named Aeneas, and this man Aeneas has been bedridden for 8 years and paralyzed. And at verse 34 there, Peter, he says to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. And he told Aeneas, pick up your bed and walk, and he arose immediately. What greater power is there to heal our griefs, our pains, our sorrows, our physical infirmities than the one who can physically heal us? What can be more comforting to any of us than to find rest in the everlasting arms of God, the Almighty Creator, John chapter 1 and verse 2. He's the one that came down from heaven. He's the one that the Scripture says, by Him were all things made. Without Him was not anything made that was made. How can it be more comforting than to know that Jesus, our Savior, can heal physical infirmities, that He can heal our emotional troubles, and He can make our sorrows melt away. Who better to handle that? What a great gift that is. You know, who better? All who believe in Him have access to rest and peace in the knowledge of Him, not to mention eternal life. Listen, beloved, the song that we sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a shame it is if a child of God doesn't give all the griefs, all the sorrows, all the griefs and troubles over to Jesus. Now listen, Jesus, again, He healed physically. Think about that. He healed the great multitudes. He healed the lame, the blind, the sick, the lepers, the cripples. He healed them all. Great multitudes. So we know He has great power beyond anything. Anything at all in this world. He healed Peter's wife's mother, Matthew 8. He healed a paralytic, Matthew chapter 9. And the woman who had a blood issue, that her blood flowed and she's bleeding literally for 12 years, He healed her. And as we think of that, He can also heal our spirit. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, we should know this. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. David in the Psalm 55, he said, cast your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And again, David said, blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. The God of God is our salvation. Psalm 68 and verse 19. When we consider that He's the rock and He's our refuge, He's the God of our salvation. He has mighty power beyond imagination. What better place is there to find relief from grief and sorrow? Paul tells us that He's the Lord of peace. Not just physical healing as He do, not just spiritual enlightenment, but He made peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what our Creator did. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 20, He brought us together. So why not cast your cares upon Him? What do you have? Don't hold on. We have heavy burdens and labors, but Jesus said, come unto Me. Matthew 11:30, He has strong shoulders and He's able to bear our burdens. He says, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. And so Jesus is the one. And through family relationships, especially the family of God, that's one area where God helps us to handle grief. Through our relationships with one another. You know, it's the way we need to go and not depart from it. It's a genuine, true faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and at verse 5. Remember what Paul said about Timothy? First from Lois, the grandmother, and then from Eunice, his mother, and then to Timothy. See, we encourage and help one another. I want you to look at Deuteronomy. We've been studying that, thankfully, in the mornings. Brother Randy's leading a great study. But in Deuteronomy chapter 11, if you'll turn there just for a moment, and we'll read verses 18 and following. Therefore you shall lay up these words of Mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord your God swore to the fathers to give them, like the days of heaven, of the heavens above the earth. When we take God at His word, when we consume His word, when we trust, put all our trust in His grace, then He will see us through. We're not alone. It is not good that man should be alone. And so God says, I will make him a helper comparable to him. And we praise the Lord for our wives, wives for the husbands, and for our children. They certainly are a blessing. Grief through the comfort of the saints, one another, that family of God. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 speaks of coming into Macedonia, and their bodies had no rest and they were troubled on every side. He said outside were conflicts, inside were fears, and nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us. So God does that. In Galatians chapter 6 and at verse 2, the apostle tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We love one another. We've done a lesson recently on that, with fervent, pure love. And then by doing that, we lift each other up. We communicate love. We share our love. Not just in word, but in deed. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, John chapter 15 and verse 12. And so we bear one another's sorrows. We share in one another's hopes and needs and troubles. That's what we do. As brothers and sisters, communicate. You know, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, to proclaim the freedom, the prisoners, to recover the sight for the blind, to oppress the free, to proclaim the year of the Lord, the Lord's favor. So we need to comfort one another. We need to be able to bear one another's burdens. And Jesus, of course, is the one who heals the broken hearted. And listen, the Lord will never fail you. Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Every word of God that you drink in, every single verse you memorize, every time you worship with together with the saints, every time you attend a Bible study and study with the saints, you're putting the armor of God on, the power of God. And that, dear ones, enables you to withstand the evil. It also enables you to bear the grief with grace from God. His everlasting love will never fail us. You know, you remember what Paul said in the book of Romans. Just a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous book. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. You know what, I'm going to go to verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall separate, is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we're standing in the pool of God's love, amazing things could happen. We take refuge in Christ by taking up that whole armor. Our victory, of course, the line is drawn. As we draw near to God, He draws near to us. Think about these things. Take hold of the hand of God that will never leave you nor forsake you. And as we do that, our faith grows and it enables us to press on. You know, Paul said we are hard pressed on every side, not crushed. We're perplexed and not in despair. We're persecuted and not forsaken. We're struck down but not destroyed. And that's because He casts all His cares upon him who cares for him. Paul overcame anxiety and fear. He learned to live whatever state he was in, to abound and to suffer need. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's how we deal with grief. You know, faith undermines the destructive power of grief. It undermines that. Faith gives you the right to expect victory, not defeat. To expect the power of God in your life to be over all of the troubles, more powerful than all the problems. Faith gives you the strength to endure grief. Remember, Paul asked the Lord three times, take this thorn from my side. And it didn't happen, did it? Because the power of God rested upon Paul. He was able to say, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Paul was forsaken. Certainly that would grieve him. But the Lord stood with me, he said. The Lord stood with me. And I want you to think about just for a second the providence of God. That's God providing because He has the power to see all. That's what that word providence means when you look that up in the Hebrew, to provide. It's a yuri word. The definition means to provide, means to see. God sees all our troubles. He sees our joys. He sees our needs, and He understands in His providence He can provide for all those things. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. His purpose is in His providence, and His purpose will always be done regardless of what we suffer in this world and regardless of when we don't suffer. And if you remember about seeing Abraham's son was on that mountain ready to be sacrificed, and Abraham's son Isaac, he says to his father, Father, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And what did he say? Abraham answered, my God will provide for himself the lamb of that burnt offering. Genesis chapter 22 and verses 7 and 8. You know what? It's so important that we handle our grief, understanding the Lord is our strength and our shield. The Lord is our rock and our salvation, our fortress. And you know, David wrote these things. Do you think that David wrote these things out of despair? Even in the times of trouble, even when all his enemies were all around him, he was able to write, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is the rock of my salvation. In Him I will trust. You know, there's one thing that Jesus is able to do that we can't. There's many things He does that we can't, but the one thing He can do is He can handle our grief and He can save us. He's always ready. He's always ready to intercede on our behalf. He's always ready. The invitation that He gave so long ago is the same invitation that stands today. If you have grief and sorrow, make that known to the Lord. Cast all your cares upon Him, and He promises to help you through. If you have sin in your life, repent of that sin as a Christian, and God will help us through. He'll guide us on the right path. And if you're not a Christian, Jesus has given that invitation to believe, to repent, and to be baptized, confessing Him as the Son of the living God. Whatever your need is today, whatever your need is, we are all here to help you. If your need is to obey the Lord, please come. Do that today. If your need is to repent, do that now. If your need is to be helped with sorrow in your life, we're here for that too, to pray for you and to help you in any way that we can as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.